Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence on this beautiful Sabbath day. Thank you for the hedge of angels that you had about us all week long so that we can come again and worship today and in study. And thank you for blessing us with an understanding of the word when you change the showbread, as you promised to do each and every Sabbath. Thank you also for giving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy. And we also uplift all those that are on our prayer list that are in need, be it spiritual or physical healings. And thank you for keeping the path well lit before us, because you have put a desire in our heart to stay in your word, which allows that light to grow. Please accept this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. I want to welcome Joe Tabb and Donnie. And that POGM teleconference thing, that's me on the other computer because Fran's doing some missionary work with her sister last few days. So, anyway, if you're new, like Joe is, and Theodore, too. I didn't see you there. And I don't know, did Theodore send me an email wanting texting? If you did, forgive me. I've been kind of backlogged on that. And I'll get you texting on, because I've seen you here before. but anyway, if you want to read along, we are on question number 18. It's underneath the chat room. And if you're using a cell phone, it's a lot easier just to click where it says Sabbath study. And then, of course, the sermon notes. It says Sabbath sermon. That's later on. But that'll be Pastor Craig. He's going to be preaching this week. And as you all know, he's in the States now. But he gave me these sermons before he left the Philippines. And so these are all pre-recorded just like they normally are. Because in the Philippines, they're on now that it's winter and the clocks fell back, we're 13 hours difference now. But during the warm months, we're exactly 12 hours different. So if it's noon here, it's midnight there. So anyway, we're on question 18. And the question is, what two vital roles did the gift of prophecy play in the experience of ancient Israel? And the answer is right there in Hosea chapter 12, verse 13. And it says, And by a prophet, thank you, Brother Sean, and by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. It's pretty neat, too. I was in Hosea this morning, too, and came across a verse where the Lord describes himself as us. Another one of those verses. I just keep coming across them over time, you know, and the only reason I happen to notice them is because we've got people that we've known over the years that now all of a sudden don't believe that Jesus is God or the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. But that has nothing to do with this today. The two vital roles is by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. But still, this passage reminds me of the mindset that says they will only call unto the Lord when times are bad. And what I mean is, even to this day, when the Jews look back, they declare Moses was led by the Lord to do a great work for them. Seriously. And even after they came out of Egypt, the word of the Lord, as it was given unto them from Moses, Joshua too, and a host of prophets all throughout time, were good things. But only when that which the prophet spoke was embraced by the prophet, or by the people, that the blessing came. But when the prophet would speak a rebuke, the same prophet that blessed them in the Lord is now suddenly an evil prophet. And when the people don't like what the Lord has to say regarding their current walk, they get all sorts of upset. And it's like the old saying goes, you know, they want to kill the messenger. of the message. You know, take for example that which leads to in this passage in Hosea. If you read this short chapter, you see that Ephraim sought the help of man when he was at enmity with God. What a difference to his twin brother, Jacob. Or actually, no, that was Esau. But still, Jacob repented of his sinful ways and even had power over the angel the night that he wrestled with him. You know, and they are brothers in the faith, so, but, you know, Ephraim never walked this way. In fact, he sought to do business with the Assyrians in the same fashion they did business with others. That's, shocking all in itself right there. In other words, the reason I say it's shocking is because they used fraud and even oppression whenever they could make a buck doing it, by the way. And as we see so often today with some Christians, Ephraim thought he was sinless in how he walked. Self-deception is something many people delve into without ever realizing it. I mean, you talk about, you know, the weeping and gnashing of teeth. One of the main issues of it is going to be self-deception. This is why you got to keep looking at self. Are you really, truly walking the way you should? Or are you, you know, because we're always our worst enemies. You know, and it's not just doctrinal self-deception. It could be, which is also doctrinal if you think about it, because if you go to Leviticus 11 or Deuteronomy 14, you see the health message there. And so a lot of people end up going to an early grave because they refuse to stop pandering to self when self wants that candy bar or that cigarette or whatever the case may be. But in those cases, a lot of times people know, like especially with alcohol, cigarettes, and drugs and stuff like that, they know. They know they're hurting themselves. But they can't let go. And so that's one of the reasons, I am sure, for some of the weeping and gnashing of teeth on that day, that final day at the end of the 1,000 years. But if we stay in the Word and repent when we do sin, you know, like Jacob and his descendants, the Lord will provide and protect, but only when in obedience, as historic and biblical record confirms. I mean, like Ephraim, many Christians believe that by providence, they're guaranteed heaven. The Jews believe that. The Catholics believe that. The Seventh-day Adventist Church now teaches that, where you got to be in the church to be saved. And this is why Ephraim said in Hosea chapter 12, verse 8, "Yet I am become rich and have found me out substance in all my labors. They shall find none iniquity in me that were sin." I'm like, I'm all that. I'm glowing in the dark here. I'm heaven bound. I mean, that sin he speaks of is the sin that declares him no longer in favor with God. I mean, self-deception took hold on him. And since it was an easy task for Satan to perform, we see this is the very same mindset running rampant today. I mean, take, for example, the Baptist that declares once saved, always saved, or the Jew, or the Catholic, or the SDA that declares you're guaranteed heaven as long as you remain a member of the church. Is this not the same deception of Ephraim? I mean, sin is no matter... it's sin is sin, no matter what. And no matter who commits it. It really doesn't matter. I mean, you could be, you know, someone that everybody thinks is the most religious person on the planet, like some guru or even the Pope. And, you know, their lies are going to cause them to go to hell just as much as our lies would if we never confess them and repent. Because no liars are allowed in the New Jerusalem. Look at the book of Revelation. It's pretty clear. I mean, if the leader of a nation sins, for example, he will be judged just as sinful as if a pauper in the poorest area of town sins. I mean, is it not written in Acts 10:34 that God is no respecter of persons? That's pretty plain. I mean, Jacob wasn't only a mighty prince with the Lord, he was also a loyal servant to Laban. The blessings from the Lord make the sins we commit even worse in the eyes, in his eyes, when we do so knowing they are sins, but believe because we stand in his favor that we are somehow immune from judgment, you know. And even ministers in our number, like people that are being educated as such, like if the latter rain doesn't fall in our lifetime and I, you know, end up dying and someone has to take the place. And, I mean, there's people, there's young people in our number that the Lord's teaching. And because I see it with myself, I see it with others that are leaders in the church that because we talk. And I'm not going to, you know, let anything out of the bag, of course, but people, even with the testimony services that we have, sometimes you think you don't realize you're sinning, even though you do realize you're sinning. And what I mean by that is because you figure you're so close to the Lord and everything's going well, and okay, yeah, I'm gonna confess and repent later or this. You keep doing it that way, the voice of the Lord is going to get weaker and weaker and weaker, and before you know it, you know, you're holding a lamp with no light. You know, foolish virgin. You know the truth, but you're not on the path. How can you be? You can't see it. So, I mean, how well did that kind of mindset work out for Ephraim? Not too good. Hosea 4:17 says, Ephraim has joined to his idols. Let him alone. Nothing you can do here. Walking reprobate. Walking dead man, as they say on death row. Whether we be kings or paupers, we must obey the Lord, else he will never be able to bring us out of the atheistic mindset of Egypt and preserve us as we walk in obedience. Because that's what he's done all along. I mean, just look at the symbolism of it all involved. It's not just the fact that Egypt was atheistic when the Pharaoh says, who is God that I should know him? But the Jews were in Egypt. And so were we. Before you found Christ as Savior, even though you claim to know God like myself, I was a devout Catholic 30-some years ago. I thought I knew Christ. But, and I'm not saying all Catholics are going to hell because the Lord's going to wink at your ignorance no matter where you're at. But once he started revealing himself to me and nudging me towards the door to leave that church, I didn't hesitate, as I see so many before and after me have. And I'm not the only one either. Many of you didn't hesitate either. You've left Babylon, you know, be it from the whore herself, the whore of Babylon, or one of her sister churches, which is all the other churches, including the ninth hour. So anyway, the study goes on to share Amos chapter 3, verse 7. It says, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And look around. The signs that declare the close of probation are all around us. If we claim Christ Lord, that means the Lord has already brought us out of Egypt. And by his prophetic word, we can know the season we now live in. And what I mean by probation closing, I'm not talking about on the individual. Revelation 18 verses 1 to 5 is still holding firm. We still have time to come out of her, my people. If you're in a church, you shouldn't be in. You have to heed the call. Because all the churches, including the SCA Church now, all of them, all the church's corporate bodies, probation has closed. I got a page on the website all about it. And no, the people in the church, it hasn't closed on them yet. Well, some of them. There might be some Ephraims out there where the Lord says, you know, he's locked in with his idols, let him alone. The Lord will preserve us in these last days, but only if we walk in obedience. And part of that obedience means we are not only to obey his word and deny Satan, we are also to go forth and help those that don't see what we see to see it, or at least illustrate it, because, you know, some people ain't going to hear it. I mean, it's like the old saying goes, you can lead an atheist to Christ, but you can't make him think. We understand the prophetic word, and we know the signs of the times. And I praise God for this, because, I mean, seriously, we could have been born thousands of years ago, but we're born in a time when prophecy is being fulfilled almost daily. But look around, and you will see that there are next to no churches out there that see what we see. I'm not saying we're the only ones either. I say next to no churches because I know there are some people out there that see what we see. We just haven't met them yet. As for all the Sunday keepers, the SDAs, and the other strange religions like the Muslims and the Buddhists, no. None of them can see what we see because, like Ephraim, they are deceived into thinking they are safe in the Lord when, in fact, they embrace the same fraudulent and oppressive ways as did Ephraim, and so, like Ephraim, the Lord will declare their joint of their idols too, and so let them alone. And this is why one of the reasons I pulled that page off the website called the Holy War page, where I show a listing of all the issues with some of these SDA pastors. I didn't bother with any Sunday keepers because, I mean, that's, you know, it's obvious. If they, you know, Isaiah 8:20 is clear, and they're teaching others to break the law. They're breaking it themselves, and they teach others to break it as well. But I bring up the SDA preachers because they had the truth at one time, and now they decided not to embrace it or share it, and so you got to, you know, I mean, Ephesians 5:11. If they doctrinally get off the path, well, then yeah, people ask me questions about Walter Veith or Kenneth Cox or Doug Batchelor, and you know, besides the fact that they're all 501c3, which means they can't possibly understand prophecy if they miss that one. There used to be other things that I would mention that they have done in their past or whatever, and the Lord just revealed to me one day and says, "No, let them alone. He knows what they're doing, and his people are going to hear it." Revelation 18:4, verses 1-5, actually, are going to be heard by the obedient children of God, and they're going to step out of those churches. And look at the way the devil twists it around. He'll say, well, look, you know, the shaking's occurring. All those people that, you know, are causing us problems, you know, the troublers of Israel, they're leaving the church. No, no, no. The shaking, if you look at it with eyes that see, means if you stay in the Seventh-day Adventist church, you have been shaken out of the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not about brick and mortars. It's not about denomination, you know, like the denomination name or anything like that. It's not about that stuff. It's about following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. But for those that seek the truth and have a true desire to follow the Lamb whithersoever, wherever he goes, the Lord's going to call them out of Egypt and preserve them in the exact same way he will for those of us that remain obedient in the Lord. And so, just like we saw in the Old Testament and we saw during the Inquisitions and stuff like that, when people are disobedient, the prophet of the Lord doesn't necessarily prophesy. As a matter of fact, he doesn't, unless, of course, he comes across an obedient soul. Then if the Lord gives him an utterance for that soul, well, then, yeah, he's going to give it to him. But the overwhelming majority of the prophets are today declaring, repent, make your path straight. I mean, isn't that what John the Baptist said? And didn't he come in the spirit of Elijah? And does it not say that we come in that same spirit? Because look around. They all need to repent. All right, let's get to 19. It looks like we're going to finish this this lesson number 29, which is the spirit of prophecy. That's the title of it. The next lesson is testing the gifts, lesson 30. So that'll be a good one. Well, they're all good. But anyway, 19. How important is it to believe God's prophets? Well, there's the answer in 2 Chronicles 20:20. It says, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And as we know, it is also stated in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so just as the people were blessed in the past for obeying the prophets sent by the Lord back then, they're going to be blessed today. Because think about it. Jesus and all of his apostles preached from the Old Testament because that's the only Bible they had. And we also know about the ordinances in Colossians chapter 2 where it talks about they have been abolished at the cross of Christ. But that's not talking about the Ten Commandment law. A lot of people like to take that out of context and talk about meat, drink, you know, offerings that's intertwined with the Sabbaths that have been abolished at the cross. Well, those Sabbaths are annual Sabbaths because you don't see anything about meat, drink offerings in the weekly Sabbath, but you see it in the feast days, which are the annual Sabbaths. So, just as the people were blessed in the past for obeying the prophets sent by the Lord, they're going to be blessed today. I mean, one can only imagine how many will be blessed by the truths put forth by the Gideon band when they speak with absolute clarity from on high when that latter rain falls more abundantly. Because it's already sprinkling out there and we know it and we're getting utterance here and getting utterance there. But eventually it's just going to be a flood, and this is one of the reasons we are always under attack. They're trying to slow down and even stop the work. I mean, Sanballat ain't going to give up. You know, or the demons in Sanballat. I mean, Sanballat's dead and gone, yeah. He did what he did. Him and his cohorts did what they did when Nehemiah was building the wall. We're doing it too. We're repairs of the breach in the wall, just like Nehemiah was. He was repairing the wall. So, of course, Sanballat's going to come up and try to slow and stop the work. We saw it happen last night, as a matter of fact. Some little gremlin demon came around and blew out our switch. So we didn't have a church service last night. And so, oh, and by the way, like I was saying earlier, my wife's on missionary, so she can't text in the room. She's using a tablet. And that, you know how Android doesn't get along too nicely with this chat room. So anyway, because I noticed some have been trying to get a hold of her, and it just, she can't respond as much as she wants to. And she asked me to mention that earlier today. So in today's world, where, and now, come on, if you don't see this, well, I'm preaching to the choir, obviously, so you all see this. But in today's world, wherein good is evil and evil is good, we have to realize the only safe source of instruction from the Lord is His holy word. I mean, sooner or later, people are going to wake up and join our number. And how they wake up, they finally realize, you know, okay, the Bible talks about an end time. And they finally look around and says, you know something, there's a really strong possibility that we are that last generation. I mean, that scares some people into realizing that, you know, maybe this is the fact. It's got to happen sooner or later, right? It's just like at the end of the 1,000 years, they're going to burn up. Even though they said, well, it's 1,000 years from now. Well, it doesn't matter. Eventually that day is going to come. And just like eventually the last days would come. And that's why I wrote the book, People Get Ready, let the people know. It has come. We're here. And so, unless we adhere to that which is written, or even contemplate trusting someone who claims to speak from that same word, as did the prophets of old, we would be in grave danger of falling away. The key verse in all this, and especially for today, has to be that which the Lord had one of his prophets put in writing. Isaiah, of course, 8:20, which says, to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. So, in the coming days, when a crippled friend walks up to you, 100% healed, and he or she says, Jesus healed him, and will bless you too if you come to see him, don't go there. See, here's the difference. Jesus is still healing people to this day. We've seen it in this church many times. Some real amazing stuff too. But when they say that Jesus is literally on the planet to come and see him because he just healed him, well, then that's not a healing. And even if your friend didn't invite you to visit who he or she believes is Jesus, ask your friend one question. Ask them if their Jesus declares Sunday is the Sabbath. Because that is the key that Satan will not compromise. That is the crux of his message for thousands of years. I mean, he messed with commandment number 1, 2, and 3 over the last 6,000 years, and now he's going after number 4. Because it was prophesied he would. He will demand all follow his lead in rebellion, and when your friend says yes, the Jesus that healed them declares Sunday to be the Sabbath, that's all the evidence you need that they are not of God because of what Isaiah 8:20 clearly said, which is to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. If they're declaring that Sunday's the Sabbath, when you know the Bible has not a single verse from Genesis to Revelation to declare that Sunday's the Sabbath, you know. Isaiah 8:20, just see, this is one of the benefits of staying in the scriptures. You're not going to be kept off, you're not going to be caught off guard. It'll keep you safe. Even if you don't understand it, just keep reading it. Eventually it's going to enlighten you here and enlighten you there. And even if you don't have the ability to, you know, learn like others do. Like, because that's my case. I always, you know, it wasn't too easy for me to get through school. He'll enlighten you where you need it. And this also applies to the state of the dead or the eating of unclean foods, the 1,000 years of the so-called peace on earth, like the secret rapture, fall to all, or seven-year trib thing, and all of the so-called Bible truths that they preach and teach that you know are not found in Scripture are all subject to the same litmus test put forth in Isaiah 8:20. If what they say goes against what God says, then you know not to trust them or believe anything they say. As the Lord said long ago, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. I mean, if you don't follow, if you don't follow the Lord, if you don't stand firm in the truth that he offers, you're going to fall for anything. And some of you notice, because, like I said, we talk, emails, phone calls, whatever. But some of you know this, that whenever you have major trials in life, as a matter of fact, I just got an email the other day from a young man asking for prayer and having this issue, that issue, this issue, that issue. And the first thing I asked him, I says, when was the last time you read your Bible? Because that's the reason you're going through what you're going through. And some might say, well, I read it this morning. I read it every morning. You say, yeah, but do you believe it? Do you study it? Or do you just go through it real quick just so, you know, like a ritual? You know, Bible is not God. It's just his word, which is his son. But still, that Bible, that piece of paper, that printed page, that book. See, like when I was growing up in the Catholic Church, even though you never saw a Bible open in any Catholic household, and the only time the Bible seemed to come out in my household when I was growing up is when one of the priests would stop by and visit. But it was never open. It was never read. I never, ever once in all the years that I was in that household read it. Or did anybody in the house read it. And we had one of those monster Bibles, those big ones, that, you know, size of a pillow, with a big old picture of Jesus on the front with a leather bound thing. It was kind of like you purchased that and all of a sudden that guarantee you have it. Plus we had the shrines. We had the infant to Prague facing east with a dime underneath them. It had to be a dime with the silver in it, so it had to be an older dime. And then, of course, we had the statue of Mary because we were considered some of the leaders in the church, or my dad was. And so they, he wasn't so much a leader. He was just there every holy day of obligation. And having 11 kids, the priests liked to frequent where you had a lot of kids. And I was never touched by any of them, but one of my brothers was. And we didn't know that until, I think, 10, 15 years after I was called in to do this ministry work. So, because some people think that I come against the Catholic Church because of I was molested by them. No, it wasn't until many years after the Lord called me into this work that I found out one of my brothers was. But, you know, it was that Father Mayday that ended up in prison for 44 years. He just got out recently. But the Bible in Catholicism is an idol. You don't read it. They'll tell you to stop reading it, and that's, by the way, why I left the Catholic Church when my Monsignor, or pastor, said, stop reading it. He said it was confusing me. It is a literal idol. You drop a Bible in a Catholic household, you have to pick it up and kiss it and genuflect, make the sign of the cross, and set it back on the table. It is a god. But it is a god that you cannot venture into. And I was told this too, and I did this for years, as a matter of fact, because I thought it was pretty neat the way it would happen. But in my Catholic household, as well as many that I've talked to before, you open it, like if you wanted to do this, you know, if you wanted to get some understanding as to what the Lord wanted to tell you for the day, let's say, open up the Bible with your eyes closed. Take your index finger and just touch the Bible. Anywhere you want, just like, you know, put your finger up in the air and let it drop down onto the Bible, and then read that one verse, and that's what he wanted to tell you that day. And a lot of times it did, you know, bless me, but still, 99.9% of the time was all out of context, because you don't read before or after, and because a lot of times I just didn't get it, too, you know, because it didn't make any sense, without reading the context of it all. There was all sorts of strange rituals in regards to the book. But opening it and studying it, that was frowned on big time. And that book right there will help you get out of the Catholic Church, to get out of that danger, to get out of Babylon. And this is why I also believe a lot of SDAs are in trouble, because they don't read their Bibles. They just don't. I know that just by their emails alone. Some of the comments they make are just echoes from their pastor, because it's the exact same thing every single solitary time. And one of their favorite ones is to say that it was stated in the spirit of prophecy that we should never start a new denomination. I say, thank you. Thank you for admitting what you did was wrong. And I go, whoa, what are you talking about? And, you know, we never started another denomination. You guys did. I says, nope. Look at the statement of faith of this Seventh-day Remnant movement. And look at the statement of faith of the SDA Church. Ours matches the original statement of faith in the early days when it started. Yours has changed. You started a new denomination. We only changed the name to stop you from suing us. Hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.